Phoning in on Static this evening from the other West Coast, from Perth, is Wyatt from The Garden. How's things?
Things are good. Thanks for asking. Just in Perth right now.
Good to have you guys finally back. It's been 3.5 years since The Garden were last in Australia, Wyatt. But you guys never stop touring. I mean, your mission really seems to be if you can find some way to play, you'll do it, right?
That's not quite my mission exactly, but it's just kind of where we've been headed, I guess, for the past few years because we've been releasing stuff. And I don't know. I don't really know why we do it so much. Like, it's not really like an urge to do it necessarily. It's just a thing that we've been up to, I guess, to promote what we've been doing and whatnot. And it seems to be going well for the most part. But
so you've never stopped to ask yourself the question. It's just keeping on keeping on, though.
No, I definitely ask myself the question all the time. I'm not necessarily like a massive fan, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do sometimes. So, you know, we're out here. After this, we got a good break coming, so that'll be sweet.
Do the pair of you in The Garden ever have off nights? I mean, do you miss some cues or the energy isn't there? Because for people who've never seen one of your shows, it's a pretty full tilt experience.
Yeah, there's always nights like that, you know. Sometimes the energy's not there. Sometimes, you know, the energy of the crowd isn't or is, and sometimes mine isn't or is. It just really depends on what's going on, you know. Not every night's perfect.
Because as you've been doing more and more shows, you've been playing, I guess, to other people's crowds as well. Like a year or so ago, you did that Mac DeMarco tour. I mean, are most other bands' crowds respectful of The Garden? Like, do people get into it? Or have you had times when you've had sort of really work to win some people over?
I think it really depends, honestly. I think the Mac DeMarco crowd is generally a relatively young crowd, so they responded pretty well every night. I think every night we had a good amount of energy going. But we played with other bands who have, like, an older crowd, you know. We've done tours with them and stuff, and it's definitely been a little bit more of a struggle, but sometimes I like the struggle, and I think my brother does, too. Sometimes the struggle can be kind of fun because they don't really spoon-feed it to you. You have to kind of earn it. And that's kind of sometimes a lot more fun in the end, especially if you are successful by the end of the show. And if you're not, it just kind of makes for a funny story, I guess.
So, yeah, so if you're touring with some boomer bands, their fans are a bit harder, are they? Why?
I suppose so, yeah.
Since you were last in Australia, also, the Court Jester outfits have become more and more a part of the Garden live experience. Now, I know you still don't do it every night, but what brought on your desire to sort of go into the dress-up box more these past couple of years when you've been doing a lot of shows, why?
As far as the dress-up box goes and the versatility of it, I think we can kind of do it whichever way we want. I like doing it. I think it creates like a sort of like a vibe around the performance, you know. But as far as doing the Jester thing, that was just kind of, you know, that's what we had been, I guess, on and off doing 2015-16. As far as right now, I'm not going to say that we're never going to do it again, but we're definitely trying to kind of like move towards other avenues of like just other creative things. You know, you don't want to beat a dead horse too much, you know.
Were you guys feeling almost like entertainers at an audience's pleasure, though? Was it a statement on something like that?
Yeah, that's pretty much why essentially we did it. Not only did we feel that we had the same kind of energy as Court Jester or whatever may have, but we also saw ourselves as, you know, essentially entertaining, and then, you know, I don't know, it's kind of just an embodiment thing, you know, and not to mention we did like the way, you know, they looked back in the day and whatnot, so I think it just kind of worked for the time, you know.
You could also spend a fortune on face paint over the years as well, Wyatt, so maybe good to give it a rest every now and then.
Exactly.
The Garden albums are so explosive too, always. I mean, there never seems to be a pressure on your behalves to tone down their frantic nature. Was it even like that making the last record, Mirror Might Steal Your Charm? Because in the opening song, Stallion, veers through all these crazy time signatures, and then there's the speed jazz of Shameless Shadow, and the jungle still's in there on A Message for Myself. So do you guys always feel like when you're making an album, you're trying to pack as many things in there as possible?
Yeah, I think we don't really go into it like thinking about packing, like hey, we're going to pack all this stuff in here. I think it just kind of happens as we make the songs, and then, you know, sometimes in retrospect, you look back and you love it, and sometimes you look back and you try to figure out what you can do better. You know, I think as far as, like, the last few albums we've done, I definitely have soft spots for them. But I think just part of being an artist is looking at what you've done and trying to improve upon it or change it or, you know, build on it or whatever. So that's just, unfortunately, I wish I thought of my albums with Fletcher as masterpieces, but I look back on them and just try to see what I can do better the next time for the most part.
So you're a hardest critic, are you?
Yeah, but also a lover of it, you know.
Does it also help when you're largely self-produced? There's no one looking over your shoulder or trying to change your mind when you're working on a record?
I think that could be a great thing, and it can also be a thing that's a little tricky at times, especially for my brother and I. We do like self-producing, and we've been doing it since we started making music, but it's also really good to have another creative perspective, especially from someone you respect in the studio with you as well, you know, that can help you see a different side of your sounds that you may have never been able to see before. So it's kind of tricky. We've been struggling with that lately. We might team up with someone that we respect music-wise, you know, to maybe fill that producer role for us the next time, and maybe we can all three produce together or all four or whatever, because I think it can offer some great input, you know, without changing the sound as a whole, but to help taking it in a different direction that maybe we wouldn't have been able to take it to in the first place, you know?
Do you two brothers in the garden have, like, a referee? If you're at a deadlock, have you got someone outside the band you can ask to have some casting votes for you?
You know, we could. I mean, I think input is always appreciated, for sure. But at the end of the day, we're going to kind of be the judges of it, you know, make the final call. But, yeah, some people share input with us, like friends and whatnot. And it's always great to hear. Honestly, I do like to hear it, because when you're in it for so long, sometimes it's hard to put yourself in the listener's shoes, you know. So I try to do that as much as I can.
What? I'm surprised that you guys haven't guessed it on more other people's records or had others appear on yours. I mean, Fletcher just did a collab with that Danish post-punk group Communions on his on his Puzzle album, but that was something I thought you guys might have done more of the past few years, but it still seems to be a very encased world, the garden.
Actually, we aren't always the biggest fans of the encased world. It's funny you ask. We actually have a feature coming up on a single that we're going to be releasing soon, but that's going to be a surprise for when that comes out in April. I wish I could tell you, but I can't now. But yeah, we're really trying to incorporate features a lot more, because we do really respect a lot of artists out there. We like what a lot of artists are doing. So, you know, we've been wanting to do it for years. That's just up until this point, I think it's been the easiest. That's why you've seen Fletcher do some features, and my side thing might have a couple features coming up. I think it's kind of something that we've been honestly focusing on exercising a lot lately. So, yeah, you'll definitely see more of that coming up for sure.
It's Slipknot, right? You can tell me.
I wish.
So there are people on your list then, definitely.
Yeah, most definitely. A few of them have already said yes and begin working on singles and stuff like that. So we'll definitely have some in the works coming up.
When you guys began, you invented your own world of Vada Vada. And despite doing things like those huge tours with Mac DeMarco, do the pair of you still feel like outsiders a lot of the time? Or do you feel more like part of a counterculture now?
If I was a part of the counterculture, I wouldn't even know which counterculture to say that I was a part of. So, because I'm not quite sure what we could be in, you know. I don't think it's bad to be part of one. I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I think we're just kind of doing what we always did, and the more people that want to be interested in it and, you know, be around us, sure, great, more the merrier. But I think we're just kind of still doing what we do.
You seem to have retained a lot of your own original vision and weirdness over the years. Has that been easy to keep a handle on?
I think it's just my brother and I just kind of, I don't know, we just like to be creative, I guess, and sometimes we think we're being a certain way and the crowds or the listeners can take it a different way. So I think it's, you know, like, for instance, we could be on a more serious tone and the crowd could take it as a more jokey tone. So, and like, or like a wacky, weird tone. So it's kind of just hard to say, honestly. I think we just do what we do, and, you know, the weirdness is just honestly coming from a pretty genuine place. You know, I don't even know. We're not even trying to be too, like, definitely try to come out there with some colorful, like, ideas and stuff, but I think the wackiness sometimes just comes pretty naturally. We're kind of just, like, always joking around, I guess.
Well, Wyatt, we'll approach tomorrow night's show in Sydney with a very stern amount of seriousness then when you play at Paddington RSL.
It's going to be extremely serious.
Looking forward so much to having you guys back in Sydney on Friday night, and then you're in Wollongong on Saturday, so you're going to be around and about. For now, we might have a listen to Stylish Spit off last year's record.
Yeah, that sounds great.
You look after yourselves on the other West Coast, and we'll see the garden here on the weekend. Thanks for the chat.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.